This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Rise above and be in control with today's business headlines, driven by Volvo Cars.
8:49 right now, you're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Melissa Idris with Tan Jung Han, and we're taking a look at the top business stories of the day. Now, privately owned Chinese construction firm China Pacific Construction Group, or CPCG, they announced yesterday that they are planning to invest up to 10 billion ringgit in Malaysia over the next decade. So this is, I think, the distinction needs to be made that CPCG is a privately owned Chinese company. So, you know, most of the investments that we've seen here from large Chinese corporations have either been state-owned or state-backed. So this is an interesting company to take a look at, Han.
Yeah, certainly, because, look, these guys with that signal of intent to invest 10 billion ringgit in Malaysia over the next decade, I mean, that's a show of confidence, right? Especially given the kind of remarks that the Prime Minister, Tun Dr. Mahathir, has made against other Chinese entities. I'm looking at Forest City / Country Garden, right? So now you've got this Chinese entity, and not just a small fish, right? A big fish here.
Seventh richest man in the world, apparently, the founder. So the founder, Yan Jihe, is the seventh richest man. He's apparently known in the local media in China for his very plain-spoken style. They've dubbed him China's number one wild man. So what he means by wild man.
So real quick, he's the seventh richest man in China, not in the world.
In China.
And look, so that wild man tag comes from, you know, his, I mean, not just stuff that he says, but also how his company has that relationship with Chinese authorities. So, for example, in China, you've got this thing called build and transfer. So you build all these big developments, then you transfer it to the government. The government gives you this nice, fat paycheck, right? So for these guys at CPCG, they apparently weren't getting paid. Now, most people would say, okay, you know, we'll play ball with you, negotiate. Not this guy, not China's number one wild man. He sued all those local municipals and local governments there. It's like, I want my money. So now that he has that frictious relationship with authorities over there, he's spreading his wings. He's not only doing work in Kiev with an underground subway line, but also looks like maybe here in Malaysia, 10 billion ringgit in the next 10 years.
So what exactly are they set to do here? They apparently want to use KL as a launch pad to move into the expansion in Asia Pacific. So they're saying, well, we're going to invest all this money. It's not just going to be, you know, using your cheap labor, but also in terms of infrastructure and high-tech transfer. So the idea also, and I thought this was particularly interesting, is they wanted to set up businesses and universities and provide scholarships for construction and engineering students. And I think this is important because you don't want FDI, just FDI. So you don't want just money coming in. You want money and quality to come in, right? So, you know, the transfer of technology, you want investment, you want to do what East Asian countries have done, like Japan, Korea. And Korea, for instance.
Yeah, and that is exactly in line with what Dr. Yilmaz Akyüz has said. Now, Dr. Yilmaz Akyüz was the guest on our Breakfast Grill yesterday. He's the former director and chief economist at the United Nations Conference on Trade and Development, UNCTAD. So he said that, look, Malaysia is a champion of FDI, but he says that it's been too what he describes as footloose, too laissez-faire, right? No, so he wants the government of Malaysia to perhaps be a bit more like China. You really force these foreign entities and you extract the knowledge transfer and the tech know-how, etc. No, it's one thing to just create jobs here, which CPCG is trying to do, like 150 jobs, but half of them are only for Malaysia. But beyond that, the good doctor was talking about how, you know, you really need to have a policy whereby you make sure that we actually gain more than just jobs. So tech transfer, knowledge, etc.
Yeah, so I think that's really, I guess, one of the things that I learned in the last 3 days where we've spoken to economists on the Breakfast Grill. I mean, these are renowned guys and talking about what they see where they see Malaysia's missed opportunities, right? And all of them, you know, from Joe Stiglitz, from Professor Stiglitz to Hajun Chang, say, and to Dr. Yilmaz, saying that, well, you know, Malaysia has really been that champion, right? So FDI in Malaysia is really high, comparatively high within the region. But have we utilized that FDI to our benefit? Mm. You know, if you look at Korea, they have national brands. Does Malaysia have a national brand that's come out of FDI into the country? I mean, as many national brands as we would like ourselves to have. So I guess the idea is to make sure that for all the FDI that we want to attract, we have to make sure that we utilize it well.
Yeah, so looking beyond just that headline figure of how many billions, beyond the 10 billion, what does that actually mean? So, you know, so the question here is, you know, whether or not this Malaysia Baru under the Pakatan government has policies that can actually help us fulfill that potential, because we are hearing pretty much the same stuff already, you know, coming out of the Minister of Economic Affairs, Dato Sri Azwin Ali. He was in China recently, I believe. And he talks about, yes, we want China to be part of Malaysia's Look East policy. We want.
Sounds familiar. Does it sound like it's coming from Tun Mahathir?
So talking about, oh yeah, you guys over there in China, you need to have JVs with us here in Malaysia. You know, all that. You know, very politically correct stuff, right? But then I think ultimately we have to give it time and then see what actually transpires from these policies. Are there concrete policies to make sure that Malaysia continues moving up the value chain? Because again, going back to comments made by Dr. Yilmaz on the Breakfast Grill yesterday, he does not see Malaysia breaking out of the middle income trap. Now, he says Turkey is a candidate. Korea certainly has done really well in that regard. Malaysia, nuh-uh.
Oh dear. Well, that's hopefully it's not that bleak and pessimistic in the future. But one area that the government also needs to look at has been the property sector. Now, new numbers released from the Valuation and Property Services Department, JPPH, they're saying the number of completed homes that remain unsold has increased over 18% over the last 6 months. It has hit a record high of 29,277 unsold residential properties that are completed for the first half of 2018.
Yeah, so almost 30,000 there. So now, just to make sure you are clear about what we're talking about, these completed unsold homes, they're defined as completed properties that remain unsold for 9 months. So they have been on the market for 9 months. Ain't nobody buying them. That number is going up to almost 30,000 now, at least for the first, as of the first half of this year.
Right. So if I could just offer a little bit of context here as well, you know, so that number does sound quite scary. It does sound frightening. But I remember speaking to the managing director of Knight Frank, which is a real estate consultancy, Sarkunen Subramaniam. And
Sarki,
that's right. Better known in the industry as Sarki. And he said, okay, what is this figure or this time frame of 9 months? Where did they get it? It's an arbitrary figure. Yeah, it's perhaps the amount of time for human gestation, but is it is it the figure that you want or the time period that you want to use in measuring unsold residential homes, right? So I think they took issue, the industry is taking issue with the fact that for 9 months, why are you using the 9 month benchmark? And for, I guess, the property sector, it could be, because it is cyclical, at some points in time, 9 months feels like a long time. At other points in time, 1 month feels like a long time. You know, so I guess it's all relative.
Sure, okay. But whether, you know, I mean, I guess whichever timeline you use, still, it's not just these numbers, but also numbers from Bank Negara, which show that, you know, there is this oversupply.
Sure,
here.
I'm not denying the problem. Yeah, yeah. For sure, there is still a problem.
Yeah,
here.
So there's this mismatch between what's actually being put out there in the market and the affordability, right? The price points that they're set at between what Malaysians or the average Malaysian can actually afford there. And looks like most of them are in Selangor, Penang and Johor. That's very much in line with other numbers that we've gotten out of the industry. Mm-hmm. Johor, though, largest number of unsold properties, almost 6,000, while 5,988.
Is that Iskandar there? We don't have the details. We don't have the breakdown, but we can hazard a guess, right?
Yeah, so we have it by state, but not exactly by development, right?
Sure.
Yeah. But still, according to NAIPIC, they expect the industry to improve by possibly the second half of this year, while we are already in the final quarter of this year, or in the first half of 2019. So they're expecting this turnaround there, hopefully, right? You know, so we're again, it's a matter of time, right? So we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, I'm going to be speaking to the Chief Business Officer of Property Guru on the Property Show later today. And Property Guru announced their latest property, the consumer sentiment survey. And what was really interesting, Han, is the fact that a lot of people are quite upbeat, optimistic about the property sector. And that caught me by surprise. I was really surprised by that.
Wait, when you say people, it's people in the industry, right?
Well, no, it's people who visit Property Guru. So people who, I guess, are looking for property to buy or to rent, either the primary or secondary market. And really? You're right. But also, I guess, stakeholders of the industry. People, it's a buyer's market, apparently.
Yeah, well, okay, that we can ascertain, right? It mm-hmm. is a buyer's market. But when the industry says they're positive, I'm like, well, you got to be positive, right? Or else how are you going to sell homes?
Okay, well, more on the property show after the 9:30 news. But we have the 9 o'clock news bulletin for you up next with Sabrina Magdalene. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Keeping you on track for peak business performance with the new Volvo XC40, the expression of innovation. Volvo, made by Sweden.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.